genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, here on KKZZ AM 1400, or streaming live over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, that's area code 805-639-0008. Every single show has a theme, and today's theme is all about money. Both of my guests have topics on the subject of money. My first guest helps us honestly assess our financial situation to overcome debt. He's helped countless people find relief in their struggle of crushing debt to regain their financial footing without going into bankruptcy. His clients go on to build new, durable financial futures. If you're overwhelmed by debt or teetering on the edge of bankruptcy, my guest can help you find relief too. He's written a no-holds-barred examination of the inner workings of the credit card and the collection industries, and he reveals lessons and action plans that will help you reclaim a debt-free life. Harvey Warren is the former president of the National Consumer Council. He is a graduate of Ithaca College with a master's of science degree from Syracuse University. Harvey has worked with tens of thousands of debt-crushed consumers and appears frequently on radio and television commentating on the consumer debt crisis here in America. He's written a book. It's titled Drop Debt, Saving Credit Card Hell. Without bankruptcy, and he'll be joining us here in just a minute. If you have financial questions or problems, you can call us and join the conversation by calling 639-0008, and we will get you on the line with Harvey so that we can discuss this. Our next guest in the second half hour will also be talking about money, only he'll be at the other end of the spectrum. He'll be talking about an abundance of money. So you want to stay tuned and listen to that interview as well. So first, let's set the stage. Let's welcome Harvey to the show. Harvey, how are you today?
Very good, sir. How are you?
I am doing terrific. Thanks for joining us on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So as I was saying, let's set the stage. Let's describe how we arrived at the debt crisis that we're now facing, that's now facing many American consumers. How'd we get here, Harvey?
Well, I think the first thing I say in my book, I talk a lot about the first lesson is pre-approved is not pre-qualified. And I think the whole banking system has come apart based on the fact that it used to be you had to qualify to get a loan. It used to be you had to submit a whole lot of documentation about your income, your other debts, and all that sort of stuff in order to get a loan. Well, in 1999, they deregulated banking. And my colleague, Dr. Robert Manning, wrote a book on this called Credit Card Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And when the banks deregulated how they lend money and how they extend credit, what happened was pre-qualified turned into pre-approved, which meant that you were alive, you had a pulse, you could breathe, you had an address, and you could hopefully pay it back. When credit started getting marketed rather than extended and qualified for, that's when the system started to break down.
Oh, I like that. Credit being marketed rather than extended. I like that differentiation. Well, tell me, if you will, please, Harvey, about gold and platinum cards. How did they come into play spreading the credit card contagion to the middle and upper middle class customers?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of social issues there. I'm not a sociologist, but I know that I got offered a platinum card. I think when they were first starting. Yeah, because I've been an American Express member since, like, 79. That's how old I am.
Mm.
And it's astonishing that they were offering this card. I think it was fees of $750 a year to get the platinum level. And the reason that they said you should have that is because of the prestige that comes when you drop that card on the table with your signature on it. And I was like, well, wait a second. I can get a MasterCard for free. Why would I do that? It's the same thing. So I think that people got involved in it primarily because it gave them some sort of distinction or gave them some sort of ego boost that they were better than the next guy dropping their green card because they had a gold card, and the guy with the platinum card was better than the gold card. And now the guy with the black card, well, we all know who he is, you know.
Okay, I see.
I guess that's it. I don't know.
Well, that's as good an explanation as I've heard. So something a little bit more practical then. There was a big change in the banking industry, especially when it regards to lending policies for credit cards, and that was the change to a 2% minimum balance down from the 4% minimum payment balance or minimum payment that you had to make. How did that impact people's credit, and how did that lead us into more difficulty with credit cards?
Well, that's really the problem. And what happened, if you're getting credit card statements, if you have credit cards, that is currently disclosed on your credit card, how long it will take you to pay it back at 2% minimums. Someone made a calculation within banking that at 2% minimums, you could extend someone enough credit so that they would indebt themselves to the point where they would never be able to pay it back. In other words, that would almost be like an annuity. The bank would continuously be paid on your account forever, literally, if all you paid was your minimum. Someone did that math somewhere. There was a PBS documentary done about it on the secret life of credit cards. A very, very serious issue. And now you know the federal government's required banks to put that minimum back up to 4%. The reason for that being is if you stop paying your credit card today and pay double your minimums, you'll be out of debt in 7 years without anybody's help.
And that's good information to know. We're talking to Harvey Warren, everybody. He's the author of the book, Drop Debt, Surviving Credit Card Hell Without Bankruptcy. He's got some great background and information to share about debt. So, Harvey, the next question that I have for you is, for listeners who are out there that are listening to the sound of your voice that are worried about credit card debt and mounting credit card debt, what are some of the telltale warning signs of credit card problems?
Well, you just hit on the first one, which is the biggest warning sign. If you've been paying your minimums for more than 6 months because you have to, that's a real problem. You need to call a credit counseling agency and talk to them about rebudgeting and seeing what's going on in your life. Typically, that happens when people are using credit cards to subsidize their income. They don't realize that the $100 or $200 a month or whatever it is for their groceries or dry cleaning or gasoline or whatever it is, that if they went on a strict budget and were cash only, that they wouldn't have enough money. As my friends would say, they'd have more month than money.
Right.
So when you start subsidizing your income with your credit cards because you can only pay minimums, you need to get it rebudgeted. You need to figure out where reality is for you financially.
All right. So using your credit card to cover your basic living expenses is one. What are some others?
Well, the minimums is a big one. Transferring balances from one card to another, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But what happens to people is they get a 0% offer to transfer balances.
Mm-hmm.
So they transfer their money from their Citibank to their B of A. Now they've got a zero balance on their Citibank. And instead of cutting the card up and using that moment of or 6 months or year of 0% to pay down their actual balance, they start running balances on both cards. And that's typically how people have really got themselves caught in that balance transfer trap. It was a wonderful idea for banks to market credit to people who they know are already active in the credit card market. You know, interestingly enough, people who don't use their credit cards frequently are called deadbeats in the banking industry because the bank has set aside a hunk of credit in their universe of credit for you to use, Billy, and then you're not using it, so you're a deadbeat.
I see.
They want to find the people who are really using their credit, so they extend these 0% offers to people who are active card users so they'll be able to transfer their balance and use their card actively. The marketing cost is the 0% for the first 12 months or 6 months. Problem is, people zero one card out, and they run their balance up on the card that they transferred to, and then they start running a balance on the card they transferred from. That's when they get in trouble.
That's funny. Because, Harvey, you bring up an interesting point. By calling somebody who pays off their credit card on a regular basis a deadbeat, the entire credit industry really has some warped views of how people are treated. And we're going to come to that a little bit later in the discussion when we talk about credit card companies really creating their own self-fulfilling prophecy when it comes to debt collection.
They got what they asked for.
Right. But we'll come to that in just a minute. I want to sort of tell everybody in the audience your credentials behind this, because you've been on the inside. You were the president of the National Consumer Council here in the United States. And that's, it's a very prestigious group. So tell us about the National Consumer Council. Describe your time there. Tell us what the organization does, those kinds of things.
Well, the National Consumer Council was a nonprofit company that was put together to promote the ability to settle debt with consumers. And I know the debt settlement business is a very controversial business. I was involved in one of the most controversial debt settlement companies historically. I learned a lot from that experience. I took that experience back to the market, began to try to formulate a program that was safer for consumers than debt settlement. Debt settlement essentially is, you know, the bank makes you a demand on you to pay your bill, which you cannot pay. You as an innocent consumer don't know how to work with a collection professional. Typically, people have 5, 6, 7 cards. They're trying to defend their position. They don't know how. Debt settlement kind of grew up because credit counseling was not allowed to handle anything but full balance. So the debt settlement companies kind of grew up with the idea that they would be the consumer's helper in consolidating these debts and trying to help the consumer make a sensible argument to the creditor about what they could pay, not what they can't pay. Well, unfortunately, there were a lot of bad players in the debt settlement industry. I'm sure you've heard news report after news report about companies being shut down and running away with people's money and stuff like that. So debt settlement became a kind of a very complex and unregulated and rogue business. Now they're trying to regulate them through the Federal Trade Commission and through the Senate Commerce Committee, which they may effectively do, which may end up legitimizing the business. But it's a very risky bet for people that, you know, respond to those ads of, you know, cut your debt by 60% or whatever they say. So yeah. What's happening is that, you know, the debt settlement industry, being the kind of controversial system that it was, I realized that the big problem that consumers have is that they don't know what service to ask for. And unfortunately, if you call a credit counseling agency, they'll offer you credit counseling. You call a debt settlement company, they'll offer you debt settlement. You call a bankruptcy lawyer, they'll offer you bankruptcy. And the consumer really has really no assessment tools to know how to address that. I thought in the book what I would do is that I'd write a very clear understanding for the consumer of exactly what each of those services provides, what the risks and rewards are of those various programs, what the time commitments are of those programs, that they can make an informed choice of about what to do. And I've been working very intensely now with the credit counseling industry to create new kinds of programming that allow credit counseling for the first time in history to provide less than full balance workouts. In Utah, we have a new program that's been approved by the Utah Attorney General. The same folks that are prosecuting debt settlement companies are now supporting a program that I've helped to innovate in Utah with the AAA Fair Credit Foundation. So that's the very long and controversial history that I've had in terms of being on the debt settlement side and now working on the consumer side with consumer credit counseling. The book is intended to do one thing especially important for the consumer, to let them make an informed choice, to know what services provide, how much it's going to cost them, and how long it's going to take to get them out of trouble.
We're talking to Harvey Warren, everybody, author of the book, Drop Debt, Surviving Credit Card Hell Without Bankruptcy. Harvey, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the options that consumers have when they're faced with mounting credit card debt. Don't answer that right now. We'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all about money. We're here on KKZZ AM 1400 Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My very special guest is Harvey Warren. He's the author of the book Drop Debt, Surviving Credit Card Hell Without Bankruptcy. He is an expert in all matters related to credit. And as luck would have it, while we were on commercial break, we got a telephone call from one of our listeners out there. And I wanted to pose this scenario to you, Harvey, and get some input from you as to how you would deal with this particular subject. The caller calls in, 50 years old, has never owned a credit card. So the no credit card debt at all. Put six children through school into college, then ran into some health difficulties, ran up some debt because of health and hospital bills and so forth. What can this person do to take control of their credit life?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I got to say I'm quite impressed with someone that's able to get six kids through school with no credit cards and without relying on credit that way. That's quite commendable. When you hear a story like that, I think that goes to the heart of all these credit issues. When people get in trouble with someone that they owe money to, people get frightened. They become full of shame. They lose their self-respect. They don't know what to do. And typically what they do is nothing. They start throwing their mail in the garbage without opening it. They stop answering their phone because the calls are coming in. And that's actually the worst possible thing you can do. That's what causes people to get sued, because if someone that's lends you the money or just someone you owe money to can't get you on the phone, well, then they're going to get you into court. And I say often to people, your lack of action is a bigger problem than your lack of money. Talk to the person to whom you owe the money. Call Citibank, call the hospital, whatever the situation is, and speak to them and say, listen, can't we work this out? I'm a 50-year-old woman. I've come into the end of my work life. I haven't got the money to pay this bill. Work with me. What can we do to work this out? And typically they'll do that. They'll find some way to work it out. They may get aggressive and say all kinds of stuff to you because they want to find out if you're telling the truth. You may even have to make a trip to court in front of a judge and say, listen, Your Honor, this is my circumstances. And court's not there for the creditor to take advantage of you. Court is there to find out the facts and find out what is equitable. And I know people fear court, but often it turns out better in court for the consumer than it does for the bank. But that depends on the circumstances. My advice would be call your creditor up, call the hospital up and say, come, let us reason together. How can we work this out?
Well, a lot of consumers, and I'm sure our caller has faced this dilemma too, they have a perception in their mind that the lender is evil and that the lender wants the money back in its entirety and will be ruthless in order to get that money back. Now, for whatever reasons, we've seen that in the movies and television and places like that, and it's built up that perception. So how do you gate the how do you get the courage to talk to the lender, and then how do you deal with their first initial thrust of thinking that you really do have the money, but you just don't want to pay, and so they're going to squeeze it out of you?
Yeah, I have an ongoing conversation with the heads of collection all over the country on that very subject. Collection people do have a perception that people don't want to pay their bill. They're not kind of tuned into the fact that people can't pay their bill, but really want to. The premise of my book is exactly that. People don't want to go bankrupt. They don't, because everyone has a simple solution, Billy. They just got to go down to federal court, see a judge, and get all those bills blown away. Done. Tomorrow morning, you can go down to federal court, file for bankruptcy. But people just don't want to do that. They don't want that mark on their credit history. They don't want to stay in their life that they ended up going bankrupt. People just don't want to do that. And I find that urge in people is way stronger than people's interest in taking advantage of the bank or getting away with something. Yeah, there's people that will do that. And the mind of the collection agencies is very much that everyone's trying to do that. But when you really get down to the fact, it's people just in trouble. They just need help. They don't need to be hammered over the head. They need help. So when you get on the phone and you talk to a collection agency and you say, hey, here I am. This is my phone number. You've got me. I'm not hiding from you. I'm calling you back. I can't pay the bill. And not now anyhow. I've got six other lenders I owe money to. I lost my job. My wife got sick. My kid, whatever happened in your life. Banks have hardship departments. And in their hardship departments, they have special rules for helping you through your debt challenge, and that's been institutional for decades. So if the banks had no interest in helping you, why would they have a hardship department? The fact is that they do have, because they do want to help you. Yeah, they want to make sure that you can't pay the bill, not that you don't want to. And there's going to be some pretty close questioning and some pretty aggressive people talking to you. But if you talk back to them and you give them the facts, you will prevail, because in the end of the day, Billy, your wallet dictates the outcome. They're arguing and shouting at you, can't put more money in your wallet, and eventually it comes down to that. What can you pay?
Well, it's an interesting point that you bring up, Harvey, about the banks and the words and the nomenclature that they use, because you mentioned it before the break that if I pay off my credit card on a regular basis and I don't run a balance, then in the bank's eyes, I'm considered a deadbeat,
correct,
which is 180 degrees the opposite of what the real world thinks. Likewise with the banks that, you know, when you owe them money, their initial thought is that you don't want to pay them back the money. It's not that you don't have it. It's that you don't want to pay it back. And so right away, consumers are faced with this change in the vocabulary. What was left is now right. Well, you know, that you're a deadbeat if you're paying off your card, or that you don't want to pay it back, but you can't. So it's hard for them to understand that a bank has a hardship department and will actually use that hardship department to help them, because in so many of the words and the language that they use, the consumer is bad. The consumer is wrong. So again, how do you muster the courage to do that? I know that they're there, but it does take that extra step. How do you take the step to contact them?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's very liberating too. And I got to tell people that are listening that if you're not answering your phone because creditors are pursuing you, or you're throwing all your mail in the garbage or not opening it, the most important thing you can do in the next 30 days is open your mail and make those phone calls. Ask your creditor to take you off the dialer. Say, look, I'm in a problem here. I don't know what I'm doing. Call Consumer Credit Counseling and have them help you organize a plan, or at least get an assessment. And if you'd like, I can give you a number for a place to call to get an assessment and find out, you know, what's going on in your life. If you'd like, at the end of the day, this organization in Utah is excellent in providing you budgeting help and giving you the absolute facts about what you can do about your debt. But most importantly, this is an education and an information thing, Billy. This is about what people don't know. And what you're addressing is, there's this colossal misconception, and if you want to say ignorance, about how the credit system really works and about what consumers' rights are and what their opportunities are. The book was written specifically to give people in a sit-down of 5 or 6 hours read to know exactly what's going on in the credit world and have the confidence and the understanding to know that you're now on a level playing field with that collection professional. That guy you're going to talk to, or that gal you're going to talk to on the phone, is not going to have an advantage over you. You're going to be talking to someone that you understand and you know how to speak back to regarding your credit situation. The most important thing is, and I'll say it again, your lack of action is a bigger problem than your lack of money, because if you don't respond, they'll get the court to make you respond and they will sue you.
That's great. We're talking to Harvey Warren, everybody, author of the book Drop Debt, Surviving Credit Card Hell Without Bankruptcy. Harvey, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and when you're looking at your choices, you've got this debt, you're going to resolve it, you've got several choices out there. You can go to a debt management plan, you can file for bankruptcy, as you said, you can go to a debt settlement company, you can go to an attorney, all of these different choices. But what are the three variables that you always have to keep in mind when you're evaluating any of these credit repair situations?
Again, it's a personal choice. Some of it's a personal choice. Sometimes it's an economic reality. People call me 70 years old and they're worried about their credit rating, and I sort of knock them on the head and say, how much longer are you going to be on the planet? What's your credit rating mean to you? You know, your survival and your economic security is more important than your credit rating. Choices for a 29-year-old are different than the choices for a 69-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Same debt, same financial situation. The three variables are dollars, damage, and time. How many dollars do you have to spend on the debt to get it paid off? How much credit damage are you willing to withstand? And how much time do you want to spend doing it? Those are the variables. A DMP at a credit counseling agency could take 7 years. A debt settlement program may take 3. Bankruptcy can take a month. The damage with bankruptcy is huge. The damage with credit counseling is minimal. It's a moderate amount of damage with debt settlement, although there's a lot of credit damage and a lot of risk of being sued. All of those variables come from your inability to pay the debt. You have to make a choice in your own heart about what you're comfortable with. What do you really want to do? And people that have to choose bankruptcy, I just want to say this in closing, if I may. Bankruptcy is a wonderful thing. It was organized by the Supreme Court for the honest but unfortunate debtor. It's a biblical principle from the Old Testament of the Jubilee year. Every 7 years, people get out of debt. So if you have to choose bankruptcy because circumstances are that bad for you, don't feel bad about it. But if you've got the ability to fight it and you really want to get out of this without going into bankruptcy, you need to look at the other options.
Our guest has been Harvey Warren, everybody, author of the book Drop Debt, Surviving Credit Card Hell Without Bankruptcy. Harvey, if people want to learn more, where would you direct them?
Most importantly, if people are looking for help, I give them 800 800- 800-351-4195. 800-351-4195. That's Nonprofit Credit Counseling in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's a free call. AAA Fair Credit Foundation. They can help people in California. These are great folks that are under the supervision of the Attorney General down there. This is one of the legitimate debt relief programs in the country that are popping up. I highly recommend those folks. They're really good. Other than that, read a book. Go to your library. Buy my book. Whatever it is, be informed and take action.
Thanks, Harvey. You're a delightful guest. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you down the road.
I appreciate the time. Thank you so much, Billy.
Take care.